In the basement of a Baltimore psychiatric hospital, a young FBI trainee stands before the cell of America's most fascinating monster. Clarice Starling, ambitious but inexperienced, faces Dr. Hannibal Lecter, brilliant psychiatrist, refined aesthete, and cannibalistic serial killer. Their first meeting crackles with tension as Lecter immediately dissects her. Her cheap shoes contradicting her expensive handbag, her West Virginia accent she tries to hide, her desperate ambition. "What do you want, Clarice?" he asks, already knowing the answer. She needs his insight to catch another killer, Buffalo Bill, who's been abducting women, keeping them alive for days, then killing and skinning them. This dance between Starling and Lecter forms the mesmerizing core of The Silence of the Lambs. Their relationship operates on multiple levels: intellectual sparring, psychological manipulation, and an unexpected mutual respect. Lecter demands quid pro quo, trading insights about Buffalo Bill for glimpses into Starling's personal trauma. When he touches her finger while returning a case file, it becomes a rare moment of genuine connection, the rare instant when he did not mock. What makes their interaction so compelling is the constant threat beneath the civility. Lecter may help Starling, but he remains fundamentally dangerous, a fact dramatically proven when he brutally murders two guards during his escape, using a handcuff key fashioned over months from various contraband items. James Gum, Buffalo Bill, emerges not as a corrupted genius like Lecter, but as a product of severe trauma. Abandoned by his beauty queen mother as a toddler, and later institutionalized for killing his grandparents, his disturbed identity took root early. His basement lair reflects his fractured psyche, a maze of rooms serving different purposes: a skin processing workroom, a sewing studio with mannequins, and the oubliettes where he traps his victims. His fascination with death's head moths symbolizes his obsession with transformation. In the novel's most chilling scene, Gum poses before a mirror with his genitals tucked away, asking, "Do you think I'm pretty?" The book clarifies that he isn't truly transgender, but deeply unstable, rejected by gender clinics due to severe psychological issues. Through Catherine Martin's imprisonment, we witness the human impact of Gum's madness. Trapped in complete darkness, with moths fluttering overhead and Gum's voice echoing above, she ultimately attempts to capture his beloved dog Precious as leverage for survival. Clarice Starling emerges as one of fiction's most compelling protagonists through her deep humanity. Her determination stems from childhood trauma, her father's death in the line of duty as a town marshal, and the haunting memory of slaughtered lambs at her relative's ranch. Her quest to silence these screaming lambs becomes a metaphor for her drive to save others. In the male-dominated FBI, Starling faces constant underestimation and objectification, exemplified by Dr. Chilton's suggestion that she was sent to turn on Lecter. Yet she overcomes these obstacles through pure competence. Starling's investigative brilliance lies in her empathy and intuition. While Crawford embodies the methodical, bureaucratic approach, Starling's breakthrough comes from understanding Buffalo Bill's perspective. Her realization that he removes triangular skin patches as dressmaking darts, making himself a girl suit out of real girls, shows her unique ability to comprehend the killer's mindset. This empathetic quality is both her strength and vulnerability. After killing Gump, she seeks comfort in the laundry room's familiar rhythms, a touching return to childhood coping mechanisms from her father's death. The climactic confrontation begins when Starling visits Gum's suburban Ohio home on a routine lead about a sewing machine. Their mutual recognition occurs when a death's head moth flutters from his kimono, transforming a routine visit into a deadly encounter. In the basement, Gum cuts the power, creating absolute darkness. Harris builds tension through sensory deprivation as Starling navigates blindly while Gum tracks her through night vision goggles. This asymmetrical advantage creates primal horror, the hunter watching his prey with glowing green clarity. The resolution hinges on Starling's FBI training, her ability to identify a revolver's hammer being cocked. When Gum makes this fatal mistake, Starling fires instinctively toward the sound. Her triumph comes not through brute force, but through training and institutional discipline, qualities Gum pathologically rejects. Her victory represents Law's triumph over chaos, order over disorder. Beyond its psychological depth, the novel presents a nuanced view of law enforcement institutions. The FBI appears neither as heroic saviors nor corrupt bureaucrats, but as a complex organization with both dedicated professionals and political operators. Crawford represents the best of the institution, methodical, principled, and committed to justice despite personal cost. His leadership of the Behavioral Science Unit demonstrates how specialized knowledge can drive investigations forward, even as he battles his wife's terminal illness. In contrast, Paul Krendler embodies the FBI's political dimension, more concerned with appearances than results. The novel depicts how gender politics shapes this institutional landscape with remarkable precision. Starling faces constant evaluation based on her appearance rather than her abilities, from subtle microaggressions to overt discrimination. The political dimension intensifies dramatically when Senator Ruth Martin's daughter, Catherine, becomes Buffalo Bill's latest victim. The case immediately triggers protocols beyond normal investigations. Surveillance fans deploy within hours, the hostage rescue team activates, and the president himself expresses intense interest. This political pressure creates both opportunities and complications as various agencies jockey for position and control. Trauma shapes identity throughout the narrative. Starling's childhood losses fuel her pursuit of justice. Crawford's stoic facade breaks watching his wife Bella die of cancer, and Lecter's monstrosity is subtly linked to his mysterious past trauma. Harris avoids neat resolutions to these psychological wounds. After killing Gum, Starling seeks solace in the laundry room. Crawford processes his grief by feeding birds, honoring his final promise to Bella. These unresolved traumas feel authentic, suggesting some wounds become part of who we are rather than fully healing. The novel's conclusion juxtaposes comfort with unease. Starling sleeps peacefully under quilts, guarded by dogs, seemingly achieving the silence of the lambs. Yet Lecter's letter in her drawer reminds us this peace is temporary. The lambs will scream again, as evil inevitably returns in new forms. The Silence of the Lambs transformed our understanding of evil through Hannibal Lecter, who redefined literary villains by combining sophistication with savagery. His refined tastes in art and culture, paired with his capacity for violence, created a new archetype of the cultured killer. The novel gave us Clarice Starling, a female protagonist whose strength stems from embracing her unique perspective rather than masculine traits. Her journey shows how heroism can arise from empathy, intelligence, and determination rather than physical prowess. The story endures because it speaks to primal fears of being both hunted and understood. Lecter terrifies not just through violence, but through his ability to see into people's souls. In a world of anonymity, there's something both frightening and fascinating about a monster who truly sees us. The lambs' silence may be temporary, but their echoes remind us how thin the line remains between safety and chaos.